Chapter 21. Bubble Tea. Kylie sank into a bottomless sea of disturbing dreams, where she was relentlessly chased, caught, and then suffocated. She awoke with her heart pounding. At first, she was unsure of where she was with the dazzling sun streaming in the windows, but when she remembered, Kylie bolted up and leaned against the headboard. When her breath returned to normal, the corners of her mouth curled into a grin. Looking around at the beautiful room in Bill Reinstadt's apartment, she momentarily forgot about the lily virus. She stretched and wiggled her toes with delight. Just as he had promised, she could see Boston Harbor from the window. True, it was in the distance, but nevertheless, it was twinkling in the spaces between the financial district's tall buildings. And then she remembered why she was there. She collected her thoughts, hopped out of bed, and poked her neck out of the bedroom door. The condo was quiet, and it appeared that Reinstadt had left. She pulled on her jeans and sweater, then padded to the kitchen, where she nosed around and found coffee, cereal, dishes, and utensils. She was pleased with the cereal choices of three separate types of organic granola, one with bran, one with flax, and another with oats. Of course he would choose to eat healthily. In the refrigerator, she found a carton of berries, as well as a quart of milk, and a pitcher of orange juice. She chose the flax granola and dotted it with blackberries and a happy face, poured some milk, and scrolled through Emily Wickland's report on her laptop as she ate. It appeared that Emily was omnipresent in all the local magazines and newspapers. Her PR clients were mostly hospitals. She was in countless photos taken at benefits. In every image, she was tucked under the arm of Bill Reinstadt, flashing her splendid white teeth and showing just the right amount of cleavage. Kylie had to admit that Emily was an excellent choice for a politician like Bill. With her all-American tawny looks and model lean build, she'd be the perfect complement to his movie star persona. Kylie was a world apart from her. A marginally cute, geeky MBA with two-toned hair, stubby fingernails, and a dwindling trust fund. She couldn't imagine that Emily was being stalked by a murderer who also planned to destroy the world. But her self-doubt was not enough to stop her from being curious about Emily's personal life with Bill. Not that she'd have a chance with him. Reinstadt was indeed too old and established ever to be interested in her. 2 years of celibacy must have demented her brain to even have any interest in him. She'd better stick to business, but first, she was compelled to check Emily's calendar. There were Saturday night dates with Bill, but he didn't appear on her weekday schedule. Her apartment was in Charlestown, so it was not likely that they would automatically see each other. Kylie was no expert in the relationship department, but it seemed odd and struck her as a very ho-hum romance. She thought about Reinstadt's apartment. Perfect, as if for show, with no mess or signs of real life. She was a little surprised that he had food in his refrigerator, so apparently he lived there. Kylie swallowed her curiosity with the last of her cereal. Right now, there was a murderer and a deadly virus to stop. She loaded the dishwasher and padded barefoot down the long hallway to her bedroom. She planned to make her bed and get ready to leave. She paused momentarily in front of the president's photos in the hallway, imagining that one day Reinstadt could be one of them. She brightened with the thought that if anything ever happened with him and they get together, she could be the first lady. She recalled the easy way they'd been with each other last night. It felt like some kind of a fairy tale. It was a long shot, but maybe it was possible. As far as him getting elected, he certainly had enormous charisma. He had risen this far, so he seemed to have enough political pull to win any tug of war, a star on the rise. She still couldn't believe that he was allowing her to stay at his place. When she reached his closed bedroom door, she stopped, dying to know what it looked like inside. For a long moment, she stood as if glued to the floor. She knew that she had to get to the FBI, but Reinstadt had said he was leaving early. It was already 8:30. Undoubtedly, he had already gone. What would the harm be in taking a peek? After a heated internal debate, her hand gave in to temptation, as if it had a life of its own, and reached for the door handle. She but couldn't get herself to turn it, thinking that it was possible that he could still be in there. She would die if he found her snooping. She removed her hand as if the brass knob was hot. Suddenly, the door opened. Kylie gasped. She was face to face with Bill Reinstadt. She wanted to sink into the floor. He stepped out through the narrowly opened door and pulled it shut, bumping into her shoulder.
"Is everything okay? Did you need something?"
Reinstadt stared at her. His eyes were fiery with both amusement and disdain. He stood close enough for her to smell his mint-fresh breath. He was wearing a suit, a tie, and a smirk.
No, everything's fine. I was just getting up enough nerve to knock. I wanted to see if you were still here. Actually, I was hoping to tell you what I found last night.
No problem. I was just on my way out, though. I'm running late, he said as he sidestepped around her.
It looks like the virus was being used to blackmail Michael Harriman into giving Lily more money, she blurted to his back.
Reinstadt stopped and turned around. He straightened the knot on his tie as if it was choking him.
Interesting. Listen, I have to run, but you need to take this over to the bureau right away, okay? It sounds like a start. Who knows? Maybe you solved this.
Yes, maybe. I'll go over there now. I'll keep you posted.
She watched him saunter down the hallway.
Have a good day, she added,
then cringed at how ridiculous that sounded. Still mortified, she stared at her feet, thinking that what she had really wanted was to hug him or maybe reach out and tussle his perfectly combed hair. She wasn't sure if it was gratitude, lust, or adulation. This new Reinstadt persona was not approachable, and his cold brusqueness stopped her cold. He certainly didn't seem very impressed with her findings, as if he was a different person. Maybe he had just been angry because he knew she was going to snoop in his room. Once the front door had closed behind him, Kylie willed her feet to move back down the hallway to her room with her face still burning. She would call Misha, collect her things, and leave. Well, just before she reached her door, a thought stopped her. Why not look in Reinstadt's room now? He'd never know, and what would it hurt to take a tiny peek, unless her luck was worse than she thought? There was always the possibility that he might have unexpectedly forgotten something and returned to the apartment. What if he found her in his bedroom? She would die on the spot. She was sure of it. Still, the prospect of seeing his private space was so irresistible that she tiptoed back to his room as soundlessly as if the walls would call him back if they knew she was snooping. This time, she turned the handle, but with no luck. The door was locked, but there was no keyhole. She hadn't seen Reinstadt lock it, so she was surprised. It must have been secured from the inside. She was puzzled, but oddly relieved. The fates just were keeping her out. She was about to turn away and return to her room when suddenly the door swung open. A 40-ish man with spiky blonde hair and startling aqua eyes loomed over her. In his black turtleneck and jeans, he had the lanky look of David Bowie, or an androgynous male model, or maybe an Aryan poster boy. Whoever it was, or what he looked like, she was horrified. "Can I help you?" he flashed a broad smile of perfectly pearly whites. He looked familiar, but she was sure that she had never met him. Maybe he just resembled a model or a rock star she had seen, but she was sure she knew him from somewhere. He had left the door ajar, and Kylie had a clear view of the bedroom beyond him. She was stunned. The wall-sized window was covered with tightly drawn black drapes, creating a dramatic backdrop against the charcoal gray walls. In the center of the floor was an unmade, oversized, round bed covered with rumpled black satin sheets illuminated by colored spotlights just above it. Magenta accent pillows were strewn around on the gray satin comforter. She winced when she noticed the natural sheen on what undeniably was a real zebra rug on the floor. So much for Reinstadt's animal advocacy. The walls were covered with huge framed black and white photos, lit by strategically placed track lights on the ceiling. From her brief impression, each photo depicted a gorgeous naked boy. She had never seen this coming. Suddenly dizzy, Kylie sucked in a quick mouthful of breath. "Oh, so sorry," she stammered and turned, about to flee.
"You must be Kylie," said the man, detaining her flight with his words. His voice was so normal, friendly and patient, almost as if he'd expected her. "Bill mentioned that he had a house guest. I'm Emil, just on my way out. I didn't mean to scare you."
Kylie stammered, "I had no idea that anyone else was here." "Obviously," he flashed his neon bright smile again. It was the kind of smile that could transform the gray of dawn into an impressive, gorgeous sunrise. She had never seen such unusual eyes, the color of the Caribbean Sea.
"So do you like it?" he gestured towards the interior with a long arm.
"I'm Bill's decorator." Emil's eyes twinkled with amusement. "And nice to meet you," Kylie managed, nodding. "It's really something. Sorry, but I can't chat. There's something I have to do." Her face felt on fire as she rushed to her room like a scared rabbit. She shut the door and tried to get her breath back to normal before calling Misha, telling herself that there were more important things to worry about than Reinstadt's bed partners. Who was Emil? Just the decorator, or was he more? What did she care? She wasn't the first lady type anyway. She knew she never had a chance with Reinstadt, but still, she was still confused. If he was gay, why hadn't he come out publicly? So much for his transparency as a politician. The image of the rug in Reinstadt's room disturbed her. She felt bewildered, but mostly, she felt betrayed. She'd researched him so thoroughly. How could she have missed this? Once again, she had been disappointed. Could she trust anyone anymore? Until she sorted it out, Kylie decided not even to mention it to Misha. She sat down on the bed and called him. Misha's phone rang for a while. "Come on, Misha, pick it up." When he finally answered, his tone was wary.
"Hello?"
"It's Kylie." She was surprised to find herself flooded with relief at the sound of his voice.
"Hey, Chelka. I didn't recognize the number."
"I know. I have a new phone."
"You can't seem to hold on to them, can you?"
She could hear the smile in his voice.
"What's happening?" he asked.
"A lot. I'm supposed to go over to the bureau office with everything that I've found, but we might need you to open some more encrypted folders. Can you meet me there?"
"When?"
"Now. I'm already downtown, so I thought I'd just walk over."
"Do you want to meet first and fill me in?"
he asked. "No, I think I should just go."
"Okay. Suit yourself. I'll see you in about half an hour."
"By the way, what's Chelka?"
"It means little bee in Russian. It's a nice name, like calling someone honey in your country."
"Oh," she said, oddly pleased. When Misha arrived, Kylie was already seated with Stuart in what she now thought of as the interrogation room, explaining why she had left Janice. Misha threw his jacket on an empty chair and took a seat across from them. "Kylie, you don't seem to get that you're in danger," said Stuart, sounding stern. "You shouldn't have left Janice. It's our job to protect you." "So I've heard. Look, I'm all right." She shook her arms, hands, and twinkled her fingers. "See, I'm fine. It's done. I can take care of myself, okay? Can we move on? I have to tell you what I found." Stuart turned to Misha. "As for you, we will deal with you later. I haven't heard from you. You have a lot of explaining to do." Misha's face paled, but there was no time for that now. Kylie blurted out her thoughts. "Since Fox was killed and my place was ransacked, and it's pretty obvious that he wasn't working alone, I ran searches on my program for the top execs at Visiozyme and found out that Michael Harriman, the CEO, was married to a woman named Lily, and it looks like they are still going through a nasty divorce. She's now in a relationship with Steve Hahn from Visiozyme. Hahn actually shared an office with Simon Whitehead. Steve and Lily each have the folder with the virus on their computers." Stuart stared at her open-mouthed and then pushed a button on his phone. "Kilpatrick, come in the conference room, please," he said. Misha beamed at Kylie. "Good work. Now the question is, how to find the virus?" "I have an address for Lily in Newton, and I think Steve could be living with her. Maybe they took it there." Stuart laughed. "I think we should give you a job." Kylie's pulse raced as she shot him a quick look to see if he was kidding. But Stuart had already turned to greet a young officer with a solid build and blonde buzz cut. She felt a surprised stab of disappointment, realizing how vital she had felt working on this case.
We have some new information on the Lily virus, Stewart told the officer. I need you to get two SWAT teams together, one for Newton and the other for Visiozyme in Kendall Square. We need two search warrants. I'll get you the addresses in a minute. I'll meet you and the team in 15 minutes for a briefing. Yes, sir, right away, he left abruptly. Stewart turned to Kylie. At this point, I have no cause to keep you here other than for your protection. Again, I strongly advise you to take advantage of it. You're free to go, but it might be a good idea for you to hang out here. No thanks, said Kylie, giving him a pained smile. Honestly, we don't need to be babysat. We'd just be in the way and probably bored silly. At least if I leave, I can get some things done. Well, that's what I'm afraid of. Listen, you need to keep me informed on your whereabouts, or I'll bring you in. We will, but I feel like I should be doing something to help. Believe me, you've done enough. More than enough. He rolled his eyes at her. Do you have somewhere to go? Asked Stewart. Yeah, you could hang out with me at my apartment in Brookline, Misha broke in. He turned and wiggled his eyebrows at Kylie. Ugh, thought Kylie. Was that supposed to charm me? Stewart turned to Kylie. That works for me. How about you? She offered him an apathetic shrug and a face like she had sipped vinegar. Not so much. Okay, then. Look, wherever you go, stay close. Update me your latest contact information. And for God's sake, stay out of trouble, will you? Kylie and Misha nodded vigorously. Do you want Misha to open the other Lily files? Asked Kylie. So far, they've all contained the same information. Yes, Stewart looked at his watch. Come back around 1, and I'll have you work with our tech department. They agreed, gave him their phone numbers, and left. I'm parked over there, persisted Misha, pointing to the government center garage. So, do you want to hang out? We could do stuff. Like what? Kylie looked at her watch. I don't know, Misha. It's 10:30, and we don't have tons of time. Do you have any other ideas besides going to your apartment? Not really. But I thought that was an excellent idea, he grinned. I think we should do what Stewart said. He put on his sunglasses and slid them up his nose with long fingers. You know, maybe you want to go out sometime. Kylie frowned. Part of her thought that he was clueless, but there was another part. She was uncomfortable to admit it, but he was pretty nice. And in some weird way, she liked having him around. She could barely remember the last time someone had asked her out. She was either hideous or she had been giving out the wrong vibe for 2 years. This guy must be desperate since he was ignoring her don't bother me signals. That's sweet and you're potentially a nice guy, but you're not my type. He looked at the sky. Potentially? Okay, then. On the other hand, I could always use another glass of bubble tea, he said. Kylie laughed. Interesting thought, but I don't think we should be going to Chinatown. Why not? They already raided the lab and the virus was gone. We can just hang out and see if anything else turns up that's interesting. Who knows what might happen, yes? Okay, I guess it wouldn't hurt. Oh, by the way, what is your type? He shot her a devilish grin. I don't know, Misha. I suppose it's someone who isn't a player. Someone who doesn't have a glove compartment full of condoms. Maybe it's someone who will help save the world. That's tall order, but I'll see what I can do. As Misha drove the Porsche towards Chinatown, Kylie told him about the financial aspects of the Harriman divorce. That's terrible. Don't judge me, he said, driving along the greenway. But I have a joke. Okay, let's hear it, she gave him a skeptical look. What do a hurricane and a woman have in common? I don't know what. Kylie turned to look at his profile, awaiting the punchline. She didn't have to admit that he was pretty attractive. She could certainly use a laugh. They both come really loud and messy, and they both leave taking your house and your car. Ha, 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 she said sarcastically. You're such a sexist pig. Thank you for illuminating that point for me. If you want to know the truth, that's why I won't go out with you. What? You don't think that's funny? If I did, I wouldn't tell you, she looked out the window. At a red light, he looked over at her and smiled. Just so you know, Chelka, you illuminate me, too. Whatever. Sorry if I offended you. If you say so, she said, but she was secretly amused. As they approached Chinatown, Misha swerved the Porsche into the right lane, jerked it into reverse, and backed into a parking spot on Neyland Street, just around the block from Lily's Bubble Tea. "What's our plan?" he asked, opening the glove compartment. He removed the gun and slipped it into his jacket pocket. Some condom packages fell out of the glove compartment onto the floor, and Kylie shook her head and threw them back in, but not before reading the label "hung." She shook her head. "Perfect. Is that thing loaded?" she pointed to his pocket, bug-eyed.
"Of course."
"Look, let's get one thing straight. I thought we were just going to look around, and no matter what, it's not going to involve a gun or condoms. Not that I foresee any problems, but promise me you won't use that thing. That is, of course, unless we're in trouble."
"Which thing are you referring to?"
His voice was deep and suggestive. She rolled her eyes. "The gun, you dope."
"That's why I got it. I'll just use it if we're in trouble. It's not like I'm a killer."
"I mean it, Misha." "Okay, we'll just scope it out. Maybe Lily stored the virus in the refrigerator with the fruit." "Ah, you're an idiot," she said as they got out of the car. Misha paused as he shut his door. "How about we say that we're from the health department? We have to inspect the place." "Listen to me," said Kylie, waiting for him to meet her on the sidewalk. "This is reality, not some stupid TV show. If the virus is real, you, more than anyone, know that it can kill you within an hour. If Lily has it there, I certainly do not plan on drinking her bubble tea. And what will we do if we find the virus? We can't carry it away. What if it leaked? The FBI should be doing this. I think they have special forces for these things. They even have special outfits so they won't get contaminated."
"FBI was down there already, right? They already checked the lab and was cleaned out. They probably already have a watch on the place. If Lily's involved, she wouldn't show up there unless she's crazy. We'll just go and be customers and see. We can call the FBI if we need them, okay?"
"Okay," she agreed, but she didn't feel okay. She realized that she hadn't felt okay for a long time.